I lived in sort of Coburg, Brunswick area, and there's this really great gallery that's an artist-run space, and it's called Unassigned Gallery. And there's Phoebe and Noor that both run it together, and they do heaps of really cool events. And I approached them and said, hey, I'd really love to do a comedy night here, and it would be great to have a queer lineup, and they were behind it as well. We worked out the dates, and then I approached all these different great queer comedians that I know, and luckily most of them were on board straight away. So
yeah, now have you been kind of that behind the scenes, like the wrangler kind of the gigs and the organizer before?
Only really once, actually. I've done a little bit of emceeing before, so I guess there's a little bit of wrangling that comes with that. But I also worked on a gig at the Grace Darling, which was Stand Up for Palestine. It was a comedy fundraiser to support people in Gaza. So I helped organise that, and that was a lot of liaising with the venue and that kind of thing. But I guess it's the first time that I'm kind of doing a bit of both now, because I'm liaising with the venue, but also wrangling these comedians, as you say.
Look, I heard that you actually performed like a 3-hour set one time.
Oh my goodness.
Was this consecutively? I need to know more about this.
My cousin and her boyfriend run this really cool festival called Inward Goods, and it's in Bragalong, which is kind of near Gippsland. And it's like a non-for-profit kind of thing, and they're just running it out of his like parents' backyard. It's very like Woodstock vibes. And it's mostly a music festival, but I think when I started doing comedy, maybe we all sort of like just had this idea of, hey, wouldn't it be cool to have like an open mic? And it was like, get up and do whatever you want. If you want to get up and play guitar, you can. If you want to get up and do a joke, you can, whatever. And I rock up there on the Friday, the first night of this festival, and I said, oh, hey, so when are we doing this open mic? And they said, oh, it'll be 10 a.m. tomorrow. And I thought, oh my God, what a nightmare. Because no one wants to watch an open mic at 10 a.m. on a Saturday, but no one wants to do it even more so. So I went down there and I thought, God, is anyone going to turn up? There are all these people just rocking up to just buy a coffee. And I was just saying to people, please come and sign up, come and sign up. I was desperate.
You're trying to sell it.
I was trying to sell it, because I knew if they don't sign up, it's just going to be me out there. Mm. So they said, hey, just get up there and just start. So I did it, and I was up there. And by this stage, also in my career or whatever, I guess, I'd only ever done like a 5-minute spot. So I was up there and I was like, I'm just gonna have to keep going. So I think it started off as just being my set and just doing like all of my material I'd ever thought of, and then it probably became a little bit like a therapy session, because I just had to just overshare. Luckily it was like quite funny, because I'm just a weird little kook. And then eventually I was like, come on people, sign up, and they just weren't doing it. So I just decided I would have to just be the open micers. So then I was just kind of like messing up my hair and like just taking on a little character. And then I was like, g'day there, I'm Bob, and today I'm going to audition for Shrek the Musical. And then I was just doing stuff like that. And then I think eventually they felt so sorry for me. And it was maybe like a bit like, wow, isn't she kind of weirdly amazing, that they then did start being like, hey, I can burp on cue. And then this other guy was like, hey, I can mime something. And someone got up and just picked up a bit of plywood and just bashed it over his noggin until he started bleeding. So they did step up. I think seeing me do this weird stuff was like, okay, she really will accept anything. And it did end up, we just went for about 3 hours.
It sounds like you really brought something out of them. Maybe not blood isn't what we were aiming for, but look, it's content.
Yeah.
It's content.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure you're hoping your show coming up, Michelle, doesn't go quite like that. You've got a show coming up at the end of this month?
Yes, I do. Yeah, it's my second solo show. It's called Life Alone, and it's pretty much about what happens after two divorces.
Wow.
I feel like you must have told me before, but oh my goodness, that sounds great. You should definitely go.
What was the kind of inspiration for that?
To be honest, I was doing a photo shoot just for some headshots, and the photographer asked me to do the Home Alone pose, and I did, and I really liked the photo, and I thought like, oh, maybe I should do a show with this. So Life Alone, because it's inspired by Home Alone.
So it was kind of like
Home
poster
Alone.
First in yes. This instance, show later, starting end of this month?
Yes, on the 27th of March to the 7th of April.
There we go. Now, you're Brazilian born. When did you come to Melbourne?
I came to Melbourne in 2019, which was a great year to come to Melbourne.
I think so, definitely. I came to Melbourne in 2021. That was not a great year to come to Melbourne.
Oh, you missed some of the fun.
Yeah. How did you find Melbourne?
I love Melbourne. Melbourne's great. But I was living in New Zealand for 15 years before I came here, so I wasn't...
Why did you leave? You had such a good thing going. Feels like a little bit of a downgrade.
Maybe not Melbourne. I think Melbourne is great. I think there's Melbourne and then New Zealand and then maybe the rest of Australia.
Now, you're both going to be part of this kind of queer comedy lineup. And as soon as I saw this thing of like you're getting all these queer comedians in a room, I remember there was this American kind of woman who was talking to me and she just completely unprompted just goes, and this is why bi guys are so funny.
I thought you were going to say, oh, can we say this on here? Good at sex?
Yeah, look, I'll take it. But I was wondering, are queer people just funnier than straight people? And then have we just evolved beyond the need for straight people? Let's discuss.
We evolved beyond the need for straight people. I feel like this is a weird question for me. I don't know if you might be able to answer it better, Michelle, because I've only really identified as queer for a year of queer.
What has this year been like, your year of queer?
Well, it's been funny. It's been funnier. So maybe, yeah, I feel like I have always kind of gravitated towards queer comedians even before I identified in that way. So yeah, I think they're funnier. I think anyone that's had any kind of hardship or adversity, often it either is really bitter and sad or is really bitter and funny.
Yeah, no, it's true. I agree with that. And I think we are funnier. Yes, for sure. Absolutely. I think queer culture, and maybe because of the adversity and because of like of being marginalized, perhaps, I just think everything about it is more fun, more exciting.
I wonder also if it's like, because I hate that thing of it's like, oh, you have to have had a sad life in order to be funny, you know what I mean? Like, I, in some ways I kind of agree with, but then on the other hand I'm like, oh, God, like, anyway, you know what I mean.
Exactly. But I think this is an Australian Idol.
Yeah. But I also think once you go against the grain of being like, oh, I don't have to be heterosexual, oh, I don't have to be heteronormative, I think it opens up a lot of just like other wacky doors of being like, oh, well, what else can I be and what else can I do? And I think it's sort of like just opens up your wackiness because you don't feel, you know, once you're out of one box, there's so many other boxes you can jump out of. I don't know if that makes sense, but
yeah. No, absolutely.
So, Michelle, do you think you maybe push the boundaries with your comedy?
A little bit, probably not too far. It was actually my director was saying that to me, that I sit like in this kind of in between, that it's not pushing too far, so it's still comfortable for the straights. But also, you know, it's pushing enough that it was also fun for the queers. I don't know. And I think in the show, because my two marriages were straight passing marriages, and now I'm questioning as if it was the problem, the marriage, or the fact that I was marrying men, like, you know, it's... We'll find out.
Do you reckon you'll try another marriage with a woman?
I mean, if I am to try another marriage, it would have to be with a woman. Okay. Like, I'm not. Yeah. Okay. Not doing it.
Yeah.
When you're like, you're making those jokes, you're working on that material, is there ever that thought kind of in the back of your mind of this might make someone uncomfortable?
No. I think, is it funny? I never make any jokes that offend people and never anything like that. Everything I do is mostly personal, and when I do observation, I'm not going to...
The joke's on you.
Yeah, or the establishment or whatever it is. But yeah, don't make offensive jokes, so I think about that, for sure. But other than that, it has to be funny.
Freddie, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think about it a lot, but I also... I've got OCD... so I just think about that. That's why as soon as we met you, the first thing I said was, are you allergic to nuts? I've just eaten a nut bar.
I'm actually deathly allergic. I'm just a people pleaser.
Just a people pleaser. And I do say that to people a lot. Have you heard me say that before? I'm always saying it.
Are you allergic to nuts?
Yeah, I'm always just saying, are you allergic to nuts? I ate a nut bar 3 days ago. Like, I'm still be on my fingers. Like, I'm just... Yeah, so I'm always worried that I'm offending someone. I mean, you don't like hurting people, I think, is the thing.
No.
I've also got a lot of jokes that are about my family, and I mean, are they offensive or are they just the truth? That's what I'm saying. I did have one of my relatives message me and be like, hey, you got a gig on tonight? And I thought, Jesus, I hope you're not coming, because there's a very revealing joke about you in there. So luckily you didn't turn up. Anyway, they provide a lot of material, but I guess you just hope they never come to the show.
I mean, that's the thing, right? I got a phone call, this was towards the end of last year, with some just devastating news about my aunt. Unfortunately, she was alive.
Ah!
Have you ever had a family member come to a show?
The only family members I've had is my cousin, Zani, that had the festival that she got me to get on. Yeah. So, and then my brother Josh has also been. And I don't really have, like, jokes about them, but definitely about, like, people they know. And then there's just been, like, when my brother came and watched, I got to a bit where I just told a few, you know, revealing jokes about the family, and I just locked eyes with him, and I thought, oh god, that was a really bad moment to just, like, look at him. But he took it well. He told me he thought it was funny. But yeah, I am a bit nervous that one day I'm just gonna be like,
one day your number will be up.
Oh, no, actually, do you know what? So I went on a date with this woman. First time ever I've been on a date with a woman. And I've got this joke about this, that, like, she's a lesbian, I'm a born-again bisexual, so, of course, like, we went to the footy, whatever, right? And I rock up, and the first thing I noticed was that she had a really big scab on her knee. And then we went into the stadium, and, like, we sat down, and this whole, like, game, she was just picking this scab and just, like, flicking it. And, it was pretty disgusting. And I didn't see her again after that. But then I told this joke about it, and then I posted a video of it, and I thought, oh, she won't see it, surely. Like, you know, the queer community must be quite big. Anyway, it turns out it's not. And then next time I went to some kind of queer event, there she was. And she was like, oh, I heard your joke about me. And I was like, oh, my God. Luckily, she actually thought it was really funny, and she'd been bragging to everyone, being like, look at this joke that's about me. Imagine if that's her pickup line. Want to see me scab, the famous scab.
I want to come back to you, Michelle. You've got these jokes about, I guess, like, your marriages in your show and your material.
To be honest, I've actually been pretty privileged with my marriages and divorces. I'm still best friends with the second one. He's still in New Zealand, but we chat every day and watch stuff online together. And even, you know, kind of supported the show. And I used to make a lot of jokes when I was still married about being married, and he was always super supportive. So it's not really a trauma or anything. They're not sad. Like I ask myself, am I the asshole? Like, because I left the marriages, so it wasn't traumatic for me. Not sure for them, perhaps. No, it wasn't like that. But yeah, like I said, we're still best friends. The main theme of the show is, like, me being alone now. Like, so, and it's like, can I still have hope for a romance? And after two divorces, that's more of the theme rather than going on about the divorces themselves.
I mean, I feel like the rule is three strikes and you're out. You've got another go.
Yeah. One more, and that's
it. One more, and then that's it.
With a woman. Yeah, with a wife,
woman.
No.
With a woman.
Yeah.
Well, then I feel like you get three chances with a woman. We can extend this out, right?
Yeah. No, too many marriages.
Oh, no, like five marriages.
Yeah,
Don't billionaires have, like, five marriages?
I want to be the new Liz Taylor, yes.
Exactly. You want to marry rich.
Yeah, that might be good, actually. Yeah. I didn't make any money out of either of my divorces.
You didn't make any money out of the, okay.
In fact, I just left with suitcases. Like, I probably lost money. I don't know. Like, I'm doing all this all wrong.
Okay, I feel like maybe then before the third marriage, we think about a business plan.
Yeah,
right?
Perhaps.
And we go, what's going to be the return on investment? Because isn't that what love is?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, again, you've only been queer, Freddie, or identifying openly as queer for a year.
Because I'm from, well, maybe this is why I'm from Mildura.
I'm from Queensland, so I've got no context.
Well, it's probably a bit like,
I can just see all the life's kind of left your eyes.
Oh, I feel bad, because, I mean, there's nothing wrong. The place just wasn't for me. It's just, like, very isolated. It's not necessarily that small. Like, it's kind of a large, small town. I think it's, like, I don't know, it's 30,000 people or something, you know? And then I spent a lot of time in, like, my teen years in a smaller town called Redcliffs, which is sort of, I don't know, a 15-minute drive or something away. But it's just not that arty, very sports-focused. My parents were very kind of, like, oh, we're progressive, but actually weren't. So I grew up, like, very confused. My mum would always do that thing where she was like,
oh, I love gay people. I'm just glad you're not one, that kind of thing. Yeah. So it was kind of like that very, like, I was like, oh, very confusing. So a lot of, like, kind of, I guess, homophobia kind of disguised as, like, oh, we're good people kind of thing, you know.
So then you got out.
Yeah,
and you're free
yeah,
now,
yeah.
You've escaped.
Escaped, yes. But, I mean, I escaped when I was 18. So then I'm just chilling. I guess yeah. for a bit. I think the confusing thing was the bisexuality. I think if I had just been like, oh, I'm attracted to women and not men, I think I would have worked things out a lot sooner.
Bisexuality is so confusing.
I think are we all bi?
Yeah. I think bisexuals find out later
yeah.
that we are bi because we are attracted to the opposite
yes.
yep.
gender. So we're just like, oh, yeah, I'm straight.
Mm.
You know, obviously happy with this.
Yeah.
It doesn't everyone find everyone attractive?
Well, then I've also, as I said, got OCD, and quite a common thing for people with OCD is this subtype called sexuality OCD, where you're constantly questioning your sexuality. So that combined with, well, I'm still don't know. Am I bisexual? I don't know. I'm just asking myself every day. So I've just decided, like, do you know what? Just say you are, and if you're not, and it turns out down the line that you made it all up, well, big, big bloody deal, you know?
Okay, so bisexual, and to be advised.
To be advised, yeah. You know? yeah. I'm operating on that assumption, but yes, it's up in the air, honestly.
Crackpot comedy with the alleged bisexual and the bisexual who's had two divorces. What a lineup, first of all,
oh,
guys.
It's just the two of us, you know. Yeah.
It's just the two of us. There's even more people. Who else is on the lineup?
Oh, I mean, it's so many people. I mean, off the top of my head, there's Luca Muller that you might know from Triple J. There's Anna Piper Scott, who's a trans woman who's coming over from Perth. We've got Neptune Henriksen, who's like a theatre maker and also a comedian.
Directing my show.
Oh, what?
Yeah, Neptune is directing my show.
Oh, there you go.
Life Alone, where the poster came first, and that's on the 27th of March?
Yeah, 27th of March to the 7th of April.
There we go. And then in April.
And then in April, we have got on April 11th and April 18th, we have got Crackpot Comedy at Unassigned Gallery in Brunswick. Please come along.
That's sounding a lot like the 3-hour open mic.
It does.
Please.
I don't know what it is, and you've probably noticed it. When I get on stage, I just start talking like this very sort of slightly grumpy elderly man.
And that's okay.
It's fine. Okay.
There's room for people like Barnaby Joyce in the world. It's giving Bob Catter a little bit.
Yep. Great.
Takes all kinds. Okay.
Great.
Thank you so much for your time.
Okay.
So you've got Life Alone, Crackpot Comedy. April is a busy month.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Thank you so much for your time.
Yep. Thank you.